The rest of them were no Robin Hoods. They were mean, ornery, bloodthirsty, and ruthless.
Well, life was cheap and often brief in the Western frontier days. The hardships of pioneering fashioned a code that respected bullets rather than law. The .45 Colt was supreme. Men won fortunes from the mines and lost them quickly over the gambling tables. Some rode the ranges, herding their cattle and warring constantly with gangs of rustlers. It was a rugged, uninhibited way of life, natural to the Old West.
Circle One presents a Fun Drive 2025 fundraiser gig with Lizards, Kuroshi, Negative Charge, and the Circle One DJs. Saturday, February 15th at Public Domain, 633 Portage Avenue. Tickets are $10 and shows at 9:30 p.m. Brought to you by CKUW 95.9 FM and Stylist Magazine. See you in the pit.
Oh yeah, we're back. And we're just kind of pondering different scenarios. That CKUW's been there for you. And I've got all kinds of strange and exciting scenarios here. One of them, here, well, let's take a look. Written down here, here we go. This one's Sally. Sally W. says, oh, it was the night of the big prom, and she was waiting, and nobody called. And then who turned up? Well, CKUW turned up at the door, dressed in a tux and ready to take her out. Took her to all kinds of the places that she felt that she needed to go that night of the big prom. Thank you, Sally. We have another one here where this guy's named Billy Bob. He was down by the side of the road. His car broke down in the middle of nowhere. Couldn't even see anything. The snow everywhere was 40 below at least. Snow blowing everywhere, and hadn't seen a car in an hour. He thought he was going to die, and who pulls up? CKUW. Saved him. Told him to get in. Don't worry about anything. We warmed up with the radio. The radio went and put on a new tire and fixed his transmission while he was at it, and away they went. Valentine's Day. Joanne Simmons says, it was Valentine's Day. Once again, it seemed like it was going to be another lonely one. You guessed it. Yep. CKUW there again. Flowers the whole nine yards. You know? And it didn't even take advantage of her when he knew that she might have had a little much to drink. CKUW was there to do that for her. Oh, and here's a letter from a whole group of college mates. It said they were at the bar having a good time. Everybody was drinking. Hey, how do they get home? Well, lo and behold, the old sober companion, CKUW, drove them home that night. All safe and sound. Now it's time for you. Well, it's time for you to maybe pay a little forward. Get them back a little here. You go to FunDrive at CKUW.ca. You make a donation. Hey, maybe the next time you break a toe, you know, who's going to be there to set it, fix it, and cast it? You know it, CKUW. Maybe you need to talk to somebody to figure out how to can make this donation nowadays. 204-774-6877, that's the number to call. I encourage everyone to do that right now. This is Manitoba Moon on CKUW. Heard weekly from midnight till 6 a.m. And we need your support right now. Here's a little song to get you in the mood with your blind date tonight. Yep. That's him. That's her. That's it. CKUW. Here we go.
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 Hand me my staff. I'm living in a boat, a plane, a raft. Oh, am I love, be I love, so hard to choose. If I were in my mind, it I would use. Oh, going back to mother, living on the double.
So, here, I'm listening to Manitoba Moon coming to you live at 5:10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Yeah, I'm looking for money. My name is Sister Mumbles in the chair until 6, which the Saturday morning show shall come up and haunt when and ask for your money. With Ron Robinson and Carol McKibben. Mention that again, hopefully in a bit. Coming up, well, I'll tell you what. Oh, you know what we're gonna do here? We need some tunes. Yeah.
And merciless. Every generation of criminals must learn that crime does not pay. The biggest fool on earth is the one who thinks he can beat the law.
And yet, you boys will go out tomorrow and visit your local bookmaker and put $2 down on a horse,
or you'll go to Las Vegas and play the slot machines, or you'll offer the traffic policeman a pass for the theater for not giving you a ticket for speeding. Everybody has his angle.
Now, Betty, when a man or woman plays the horses or puts a quarter in a slot
machine,
why
don't you donate to CKW instead of wasting it on
murder? Uh-huh. That's different. Murder is a crime, an awful crime.
Yet murder fascinates us all when we read about it.
Or see it on the screen.
The most fascinating type of murder.
Indeed. We had... Yeah, do go to fundrive.ckw.ca. Donate today. Oh, keep this overnight weirdness going on. Live radio in the middle of the night. It's a thing of the past. I don't know how we're doing it. It's gone like the dodo bird and all that. Everywhere, just about. I don't know how it's happening in Winnipeg, but yeah. Anyhow, we had the band Love from, I think it was from LA or something. I can't remember. Love, The Castle from... was it DiCapo or something? Well, anyways, we had that. We had the five-man electrical band with Butterfly, which was the flip side of the Signs 7-inch record. What was the big hit? Signs was the big hit there. The Tights with Howard Hughes. Some punk rock there for you. The Marbles with Listen to the Kid. A bit of a hit there. We had America with A Horse with No Name. Haven't heard that in a while. So I figured, hey, nice. Slade. Doing a bit of Slade set tonight with One-Eyed Jacks with Mustaches. Triples again. Neil Norman's sound effects for the Star Trek series. Slade again with Know Who You Are. And you know who you are. And you can, you know you are a donor to CKW95.9 from Winnipeg. We all know who we are. Slade with The Shape of Things to Come. Hopefully CKW has great things to come to your ears. Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels. There. Guilty Pleasure there, Tears for Fears. This is a great album, what can I say? Yeah. Don't hear too often. Sometimes you say, well, there's commercial radio and there's... You never know what you're going to hear. Never know. We had Tears for Fears and Slade and some sort of weird... Goat Bird Drive, and then the Noise Heads set a new sort of a Nirvana-esque, I don't know what they're, that kind of a grungy thing. Noise Heads, covering Wings and Paul McCartney, oddly enough, in an interesting rockish fashion. Cheap Trick, demo tapes. We also had a synthesis of music from the RCA Synthesizer project, and some weird jazzy thing there, which I... The Doors of Perception from 1966 by Dave Pike. There. 1966. Acid is making its known LSD. The Doors of Perception and Aldous Huxley. There. Thing. Coming up, the band Now with Development Corporations. Sort of a bane of our existence, isn't it? And corporations and the oligarchy are trying to beat us down and trick us into giving money to them versus organic community radio local down the block from the towers of CKUW 95.9 in Winnipeg, Campus Community Radio, live from the University of Winnipeg, supported by your generous donations. Again, like I mentioned, 20% of our annual budget comes from listeners like you. And that's a big hole. Coming up after that, by request, actually, a theater, some sort of a old-time radio. In that case, this instance, I was looking through the files, and I haven't played Theater 5 for a while. It was a sort of a couple years after it was a suspense or something, I forgot, that closed its doors in 1962 or something, whatever. ABC Radio came out with Theater 5, which was a sort of the first reboot, so to speak. It was a Monday through Friday type of thing at 5 p.m. drive time. was a ensemble cast, I guess. You know, had a bit on the cheap, but pretty interesting stories nevertheless. In this case, this was episode 5, The New Order. Government investigators stumble upon a conspiracy at a robot manufacturing plant. First broadcast, 18th of August, 1964. Starring a original story by Don Herring. You hear that after now in the Development Corporation. It's then some punk to fill up the hour. And of course, the Gits. The last thing I mentioned to promise was the Gits from the Adventure of the Boy remaster. A couple tracks off of that. We call it a day. You're listening to CKW 95.9 FM Winnipeg, Campus Community Radio. Donate now, 204-774-6877. $35 gets you, as a thank you gift, to get the Friends discount card. Check it out. Learn more and donate at frontdrive.ckw.ca.
Has been opened for the murderer, man or woman, with a flair for originality.
In other words, while there's only one known way of getting born, there are endless ways of dying.
Endless ways, but not lovely ways, Bob.
Ooh, well, I like my crime between covers, in books. I like Edgar Allan Poe.
Development, corporations, development, corporations, development, corporations, development, corporations, a change of the face of the nation, development, corporations, another excuse for dictators, development, corporations, they're holding meetings in the local town hall, they're selling tickets for the Christmas ball, nothing will change the future with a road or two, but they think something good just because it's true. To build a new town, 10 years later they knock it down. The corporation's gotta find a way to keep work. I gotta find a way to buy a way to move. They like fur, and they like fur. Go. Development corporation. Development corporation. Corporations, development, corporations, they're changing the face of the nation. Development, corporations, another excuse for dictators. Development, corporations. The boss has been caught with his secretary, while she talked too much. One of his own, he's got a mixed interview on BBC, but he'll be on the front page on Sunday. And when he's sacked, there's another rule, stepping to his job, provided he gets a right. The corporation always likes to run new ideas. Giving things that no one ever needs. They never need. Development corporations. Development corporations. Development corporations. Development. Corporations, they're changing the face of the nation. Development corporations, another excuse for dictators. Development corporations, recommending more houses in a bit of a state. They've got to build some houses for the new estate. So I'll have to do some thinking and entice the front. And they decide to adjourn for lunch. With all your cut up plans and all your model streets, but what in the end do they mean to me? Someday soon, corporations, it's true. Someone somewhere's gonna knock down you. They'll knock you down. They'll knock you down. They'll knock you down. Development, corporations.
folks. I just took a piss. I just slid my wrist. I feel like a bitch. I can't get no kiss. Hey, cop. I just shot some crack. I just got out of the tank. I just robbed a bank. I feel pretty red. Ain't no part of no fuel blast. Ain't gonna get off my ass. Got no need for no tons of cash.
Ghastly murder, and all on paper. Harmless, but spine-tingling.
It happens that at least one of Poe's stories was a real thing based on actual facts. That was his Mystery of Marie Roget. This was the story of the disappearance and murder of a shop girl. The story contains no solution.
And for a very good reason.
Yes, you
the
just listened to...
heroine was Mary Rogers.
The Nubs with Job. The Rondos with King Kong's penis. And now with Development Corporations. And just want to remind you, CKW is a non-commercial radio station. Our funding, 20% of it, a good chunk of funding, comes from Fund Drive and listeners like you. Only you, ultimately. It is up to you to donate. Because if you don't donate, who will? Sort of a bit of a question. Somebody else? Oh, no. It's you. Because if it's like you look around and you know how it goes. Nothing happens. And you go around and you know, get enticed by the glitzy corporations. And then you end up with nothing. Yep, how it goes. We're a registered artistic nonprofit, and there you go. We have something called Radio Camp, which we help local neighborhood kids. We'll spend them a week learning about radio and sort of a nice little day camp program we do for inner city kids. And of course, we're accessible. We're a public access radio station. So you've tapped into various local scenes, maybe scenes in the arts, the fine arts, music, obviously, various genres of music, and hobby groups, political activism groups of various stripes. I might discuss their things, you know, their ideas and stuff, and what's going on in Winnipeg? What's going on in the around the community? And how does the international scene affect us locally here? You hear all that and more. It's the straight. You never know what's it's the neat, yeah. CKW, for example, underground shows. We're downtown underground, and up and coming. Here's 3 to 5.
Why wasn't this news released? Because it would create public hysteria.
There would be an absolute panic.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
There'd be riots in the streets.
It would make an invasion from Mars seem like a Sunday school picnic.
Theater 5 presents The New Order.
Thank you, Mr. Garson.
Thank you.
I'm John Clements, and this is my assistant, Sam Winston.
How do you do?
As you know, we're from the National Board.
And what can we at Robots Unlimited do for you? Well, of course, you're aware that there's a new investigation of robotry.
There's always a new investigation of robots and robots unlimited, gentlemen. I just hope I haven't accidentally broken the rules of the charter.
No, nothing like that. In fact, we wish all government departments were run as efficiently as this one.
Well, thank you.
Actually, we're here, Mr. Garson, because people are... Well, they're getting very worried about robotry.
Worried?
It goes even deeper than that. They're afraid of the newest robots.
Well, there's no reason to fear robots.
I doubt we can convince people of that. At one time, a robot was a mechanical man with flashing lights for eyes, antennae for ears, and, well, he was obviously a robot. But now you can't tell a mechanical man from a human, except through dissection.
No, there is another way, gentlemen. A robot is different from a human being because it does not know how to hate. And most important, it cannot bring harm to any human. Now, this is an integral part of the robot makeup. In fact, it's the first law of robotics.
And that's precisely why we're here, Mr.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, Garson here.
Mr. Garson, Adam C. is ready for testing.
Have Adam C. wait, please.
Yes.
Gentlemen, would you like to see an interesting test?
What kind of test?
Well, Adam C. is an R4 robot.
I thought all R4s were supposed to be destroyed.
Yes, that is, the charter states that when a robot type becomes obsolete, it should be destroyed.
Why hasn't that been done?
Well, the charter also gives a time limit for a possible modification. So I've been working on the R4s. You see, there are two basic differences between the R4s and the R5s. The R4 voice was metallic, and it had a sort of built-in echo. But the R5 voice is as human as yours or mine. The other difference is, well, I'll call it the nervous system, connecting the brain to the voice box. Well, in the R4, the working of the brain was not attuned to the voice box. The R4 could solve problems, but could not transmit the answers vocally. This, of course, made the R4 a worker with a very limited capacity and range. The R5, however, solves problems and then gives the answers. Or it transmits the answers into action, just as a human would.
And have you managed to alter the R4 enough to meet the new specifications?
Yes. Adam C. will be the 15th XR4 I've tested. The others have all met the new specifications. According to the terms of the charter, if Adam C. passes his tests, I'll have the right to modify all other R4s. There's a total of 528 of them. Well, gentlemen, would you like to see the test?
Yes, I would.
And so would I.
Good. I'm sure you'll find it quite absorbing. Oh, please send Adam C. in.
Yes, Mr. Garson.
Oh, gentlemen, would you like a cigarette?
Oh, thank you.
No, thanks.
I'm going to introduce you to Adam C. as I would a human. I ask you to cooperate.
Are you trying to tell us that robots have feelings?
Well, not as we know feelings, no. But their tuning can be upset by, well, unexpected rudeness, for example. Oh, come in.
Adam C. reporting as ordered, Mr. Garson.
Oh, Adam C., this is Mr. Clements and Mr. Winston. They are government investigators.
I'm honored to know you, gentlemen.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you.
Now, Adam C.?
Yes, Mr. Garson.
Do you understand why you're here?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, please.
I was an R4 robot. You have had me modified to meet the specifications of the R5 robot. If I do not meet all the specifications, I will be destroyed along with all other R4 robots.
All right. Now, the first test is memory retention. Now, I'm going to open this book. You will read the page on the right-hand side. You will have only 3 seconds. Ready?
Yes, Mr. Garson.
Start reading. All right. Adam C., in your opinion, what kind of book is this?
It seems to be a work of fiction.
Oh, be more specific, please.
I cannot be more specific, Mr. Garson. It seems to be a work of fiction. However, it could also be a biography, or it could be history done in a fictional style.
Very good. And now I want you to read from memory the 19th and 20th lines on that particular page.
The lines are a piece of dialogue. Quote, I don't like the idea of Ferguson and Martin meeting as equals, Kramer declared, adding in a low voice, their ideologies are simply not compatible, unquote.
Fine. Now, gentlemen, would you like to see the page?
Yes.
All right. Now, here's the book, Mr. Clements. Page 47.
Thank you. Now, let's see.
That's right. Count down to the 19th line. I think you'll find that Adam C. read, word for word, that line and the one that followed.
Huh. You know, this is amazing.
It's not just amazing, it's completely incredible.
Incredible? No, no, Mr. Winston. You see, the robot brain is uncluttered with irrelevancies.
What's the next test, Mr. Garson?
Mental arithmetic.
May I give Adam C. the problem?
Oh, by all means, please do.
Can I have that piece of blank paper on your desk?
Oh, surely. There you are.
Thank you. Adam C.?
Yes, Mr. Clements.
I want you to solve this arithmetic problem for me.
Yes, sir.
Multiply 7,927 by 4,684. And then I want you to divide the total by 424.
That is the problem, Mr. Clements?
Yes.
The answer is 87,570 plus the fraction 97,106.
Well, Mr. Clements?
I haven't figured it out for myself yet.
Well, I'm sure you'll find that Adam C.'s answer is correct.
Well, here's the total of the multiplication. 37,130,068.
Correct, Mr. Clements.
You can prove the answer quite simply about that.
Yes, yes, I know how, Mr. Garson.
Well, Adam C., if Mr. Clements finds your answer to be correct, you may return to the waiting room for further instruction.
Yes, Mr. Garson.
Well, the answer is correct, all right.
That'll be all, Adam C.
Goodbye, Mr. Garson. Gentlemen, being with you has been a pleasure.
Well, I'll be darned.
It makes one feel rather inferior, doesn't it?
Mr. Garson, before this test, we were speaking about the first law of robotics.
Oh, yes, yes, so we were.
Well, I think we're all aware of the fact that without this safeguard of the first law, Robots Unlimited would never have been granted a charter. In fact, the manufacture of human-type robots would not have been permitted.
That's true.
However, there is one man who can alter this first law. Professor Albert Dean, inventor of the human-type robot. And Professor Dean has been missing for the past 5 days.
Missing?
He disappeared from his home 5 days ago.
Why wasn't this news released?
Because the newspapers would pull out all the stops. There'd be panic. For the same reason, we didn't release another fact. That Professor Dean had been experimenting with a new robot. One to which the first law of robotics does not apply. You can imagine what the newspapers would do with that.
Yes.
This new robot type, did you know that Professor Dean was working on it?
Yes, I did. Well, at least there was a rumor to that effect.
Did you approve?
Well, makes small difference how I felt, Mr. Clemens. The matter was out of my hands. Professor Dean wasn't and isn't under my supervision.
Yes, well, that's true enough. He was our responsibility. Mr. Garson, you were selected as general manager of Robots Unlimited because of your excellent record in government service. Your background of loyalty is impeccable.
Thank you, but what is it you're trying to say, Mr. Clemens?
We're expecting that you cooperate with us in this matter.
Well, of course. Just tell me what it is that you want me to do.
Well, at the moment, Winston and I would like the run of this building and the grounds.
Very well. Feel free to go anywhere.
Then, later on today, we'll probably have another talk with you.
Anytime at all.
Good. I don't think I have to tell you how important it is that we find Professor Dean as soon as possible.
Now, that's rather obvious, Mr. Clemens. The professor's knowledge of robotics can be a very dangerous thing if... For instance, you were kidnapped by a foreign power?
Exactly. Well, thank you for everything.
Gentlemen, if there's anything else that you need, just let me know.
We will, and thanks again.
Thank you. Garson here, calling Frank B.
This is Frank B., Mr. Garson.
Did you monitor my conversation with the government investigators?
Yes, sir. Do you have any orders concerning them?
Just this. Cooperate with them in every way, but watch them carefully. Very carefully. You could get lost in this maze of passages.
What's that?
What?
That tapping.
Tapping?
There it is again. It's coming from behind this wall. Mr. Garson, there's someone behind this wall.
Oh, I'm sorry you felt you had to come down here, Mr. Clements.
I insist that you...
There's no need to insist. There are rooms behind this wall.
How do we get to them?
Simply by moving this panel.
It's a cell. Who's that?
Come along, Mr. Clements. Meet Professor Dean. As you can see, the professor is unharmed.
Why do you have him tied and gagged?
Because he knows certain words that activate the robot. Here they come now.
Mr. Garson, I insist that you release Professor Dean.
I'm sorry, no.
I order you to...
Come now, put away that gun.
What do you want us to do, Mr. Garson?
Take Mr. Clements to a cell.
No, no, they can't carry out that order.
Why not, Mr. Clements?
Because of the first law of robotics. Robots aren't permitted to harm humans.
But they don't intend to harm you.
Let me go!
See, they're gentle, but very strong. Take him away, please.
You'd better have a good answer for all this, Garson.
Well, I think I do. Yes, Professor Dean. Oh, believe me, we don't enjoy keeping you prisoner. And we'll set you free just as soon as you change your mind.
No.
Well, I'm a patient man, Professor. The emergency alarm.
Mr. Garson, please come to your office.
Yes, Frank B., what is it?
We found Agent Winston in the file room.
How did he get in there?
It must have happened while you were downstairs with Mr. Clements. I detailed some R5s to help you. There was a mistake in the assignments, and the file room was left unguarded for a moment. He must have slipped in.
Where is he now?
In the waiting room.
Mr. Garson, I think you better tell these robot friends of yours to let me go.
I'm afraid that's not possible, Mr. Winston.
Look, the kid gloves are off. I suggest that you cooperate and tell us all you know. It'll go a lot easier with you. You see, I had a good look through your files.
So?
I found a lot of information on Professor Dean, incidentally. Do we have to speak in front of these robots?
Why? Do they make you nervous, Mr. Winston?
Yes, they do.
Why? Have you forgotten the first law of robotics? They can't harm you. However, if you insist, I'll ask them to leave. Oh, Frank B., if you don't mind.
Not at all, Mr. Garson. We'll go.
Now, Mr. Winston, we were speaking about Professor Dean in the files. Please go on.
After I read through certain papers in the files, it looked to me like a fantastic plot was taking form.
A plot?
Against our government in particular and against humanity in general.
Well, that is fantastic, Mr. Winston.
Now, please don't act so charmingly coy, Mr. Garson. You're part of it. You've got to be.
How could Robots Unlimited be plotting against the government? Our fives are unable to harm humans. Well, the first law of robotics is an inherent part of their makeup. And don't forget, if we were using robots to overthrow the government, well, we'd have the army to contend with. The first law would operate against
them. Mm-hmm. That's what you want people to think. Yes, the R5s obey the first law. And while the first law applies, you can't carry out your plan. That's where Professor Dean comes in.
Oh?
The professor was working on a new robot model when he disappeared. A model that does not obey the first law. A robot that would carry out an order to kill.
Ah, now we begin to see the ramifications of this fantastic plot. Huh?
You have 800 R5s and more than 500 R4s that you're modifying. Now, that doesn't take into account the robots you're probably manufacturing in secret.
In secret? Oh, you didn't see that in the files.
Well, I saw enough to put you on trial for treason.
If I'm to be executed as a traitor, why should I help you?
I told you. We could make it easier for you.
By we, I assume you mean Mr. Clements and yourself.
That's right.
But I'm afraid Mr. Clements is in no position to help anyone.
What do you mean?
Listen. Garson here. Connect me with Mr. Clements' cell, please.
Cell?
You're connected, Mr. Garson.
Clements? Clements, this is Garson.
Garson, listen to me. If you don't let me out of this cell, so help me on.
Well, I trust that convinces you, Mr. Winston. You see, your friend Clements made the mistake of wandering into a restricted area, just as you did.
Who's giving the orders? You or Professor Dean?
Professor Dean is in the cell next to Clements.
I should have known. You kidnapped him.
Yes. The professor was not amenable to my plan. You see, Professor Dean not only made a robot that did not obey the first law, but in doing so, he found a way to nullify the first law in other robots.
And has he told you how to do it? He can't have. Not if you've got him in a cell.
He will. And then I'll nullify the first law in all robots. And as they're tuned to my voice, they will obey my orders. Oh, by the way, there's something that isn't in the file room. I don't have to manufacture robots in secret factories. Robots can reproduce themselves. It's very simple. Each robot will manufacture another. Double a penny 30 times, Mr. Winston, and you get over 1,000,000 pennies. In no time at all, I'll have a huge army of indestructible machines.
What's happened to you, Garson? No one in government service had a better record than you. You were the last man we thought would turn true.
You don't know me very well, Mr. Winston.
That's just about the biggest understatement I've ever heard. And we thought Professor Dean was the security risk.
The professor has an IQ of 195, yet he's a fool. By helping me, he could be the most powerful man in the world. I cannot understand men like him, or you.
Spoken like a true paranoiac.
Isn't it strange? You devise a perfect form of government, an infallible method of controlling the world, and you're called insane. Remember, Mr. Winston, robots are not susceptible to bribery. They can't be blackmailed or intimidated or flattered or fooled. Can you say the same about our politicians and government office holders? Can you?
No. We're all fallible. And you're at least as fallible as the rest of us.
No, and what makes you say that?
Because you're wrong. Your plan just won't work.
Why not?
Because your plan depends on Professor Dean. He's a dedicated scientist. He knows that if he alters the first law of robotics, whatever happens will be his responsibility. This is why he won't help you, no matter what you do to him.
Ah, but he will help me for the simple reason that he is only human. Sooner or later, he'll weaken. It's only a matter of time.
You're fast running out of time, Mr. Garson.
Nothing can stop me.
Oh, maybe I can.
Ah, what good is locking that door going to do?
I'm going to kill you, Mr. Garson.
Oh, a gun, just like Clements. You all run so true to form. Put it away.
You leave me no alternative but to kill you.
Do you think shooting me will stop my plan?
Without you, the robots would have no leader. And they won't do anything to me for killing you because they'll obey the first law.
Ah, I see your reasoning. You think you'll get rid of me and then free the professor and Clements?
No, Garson, don't move toward me.
What are you afraid of? You have a gun.
Don't take another step.
Well, shoot, Mr. Winston. Shoot.
All right. I hit you with every shot.
Everyone.
You must be
a robot? Yes. Yes, I am. You see, the real Garson is dead. I had my face made in his image. When you and Clements are dead, two robots will be made in your image. The same thing will ultimately happen to the professor. That's my real plan, Mr. Winston. Robots won't have to fight the army or anyone else. We'll just step into your shoes, each and every one of you.
But you haven't found a way to nullify the first law yet.
Not yet.
Until you do, a robot can't kill. It must obey the first law.
All but one robot, Mr. Winston. The one Professor Dean made just before he disappeared. The robot to which the first law of robotics does not apply.
I
am that robot, Mr. Winston.
The New Order, written by Don Harry and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Jay Barney, Bob Dryden, Jack Manning, Jack Grimes, and Owen Jordan. Audio engineer Neil Pulse. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We would appreciate your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking.
Now that you've unwittingly become victims to the radio, I dare you to flee. Now, there are no horrifying traps in which you can escape from. There are no unbelievable, spine-tingling nightmares that you will awake from. Because this is it. It's the real thing. It's horror stalked upon horror. And as you dance delightfully to the sounds of CKUW, you wonder how you can spin around anymore, how you can become more monstrous than the monster himself. Well, CKUW has a little trick for you to keep things flowing ever so perfectly, like you like it. And I know you do. Go to CKUW.ca right now and sink your teeth into a donation, and you'll get yourselves a most terrifying
tax receipt.
Thank you.
is. Oh, it is.
Oh, boy. Yes, it's time for
me. It certainly is.
For Drab, it's time to raise some
make
money.
Make people happy.
People
oh, yeah.
Happy once again. The community
oh, yeah. We're loving you.
Loving you and asking you for
money.
A little bit of your money. So go to CKUWWGA
oh,
yeah. Right
pet
now.
The fish.
Oh, and put your
pet
hand right in the fishbowl. Pet the fish.
Help,
and
help.
Yes, yes, yes. You can help, help, help.
Blow
just like
up.
That. Oh,
it's
yes.
Fun Drab good.
Make it good.
It's fun Drab good.
Oh, it's
oh.
Fun Drab good.
Oh,
it's fun
oh, it's ready.
Oh, it's a deadly little bee.
No, Nate.
Looking to be pet.
Your
pet my fish.
Mind. No.
Go to CKUW.ca right
donate,
now.
Donate.
Change your mind. And do it now.
And for that reason, the paper which ran Poe's article dared not print a conclusion. Later on, it was claimed that Poe's reasoning was substantially correct. As a matter of fact, the confessions of two persons made at different periods long subsequent to the publication of Poe's so-called story confirmed in full the general conclusion to which Poe pointed.
Now, in real life, we haven't learned...
In the back, well, we heard their... Theater 5 in New Order, and then, of course, The Gits off a remastered album from 2024 put out by Sub Pop. We had another shot of whiskey from the album Frenching the Boy, which is the debut studio album by Seattle punk rock band The Gits. Came out originally on C/Z Records in 1992, but was later reissued in 2003, and so on and so on. The Gits, bit of a tragic story to that. There was a past member Mia Zapata being one who murdered while walking home from a bar called the Comet in 1993, July 7th to be exact, and even showed up on Unsolved Mysteries in 1996 on an episode of that and other shows, Cold Case Files, 48 Hours on CBS, America's Most Wanted, and more than that. Yeah. But the jury convicted Zapata's murderer and sentenced to 36 years in prison. Anyways, Frenching the Boy, as I said, reissued, and maybe play more of it in the following weeks. Do stay tuned to the top of the hour for the Saturday morning show with Ron Robinson and Carol McKibben, and to let you know the current total for the station is $26,634 there. Thank you so much for all those who donated. Don't forget, if you're listening to a podcast of this program or any other program, that includes you even in the future to donate at ckw.ca. Great stuff there. Here's our final track cut from The Gits, which is Insecurities from the 2024 remaster. And then, of course, we're going to have a quartet with Misnomer to lead us out. A nice instrumental there. Thank you so much. I'm out of time. And frankly, I'm out of wakefulness. Going to bed.
And in some cases, we would brand them.
Death used to be the penalty for scores of crimes, including burglary. In the old days, even children of 7 were thought capable of committing crime. We used to have Newgate Prison, an abandoned copper mine in Upper Connecticut.